everyone. Namum Myoho Renge Kyo. Welcome. Thank you for being here. This will be, I believe, the beginning of part three of the teaching practice and proof. This is not an exceptionally long letter, Gosho, but it is a pretty good one, so it'll take a few parts to finish it, maybe two more. As I alluded to earlier, this letter was written or probably addressed to Sami Bo. At this time in Nichiren's life and propagating life, he's quite matured and has amassed quite a large following throughout Japan. And he's now at Mount Minobu, and he's aged. So he's starting to offload, direct more of his most learned disciples, not only in teaching the doctrine of Buddhism, the Lotus Sutra, and so on, but he's also putting people in higher responsibility to take over, if you will, from him when he passes. He's nowhere near death yet, but he's older. And so this is the stage at which Nikko, Nichigyo, and others, Sami Bo, is thought to be the recipient of this letter, because he is amongst the inner circle of disciples, probably the best, the most eloquent, the best versed, if you will, in arguments, debate with other sects from the standpoint of the Lotus Sutra, and certainly Nichiren's doctrines and elucidations of the Lotus Sutra. So I say all of that not to lend more weight or heaviness on this particular letter. You could take it that way. That's up to you. The reason I bring it up is because a lot of the language in this letter assumes quite a learned base. Not a lot of time is spent exploring aspects of teaching, because it's assumed that that's already known. So a lot of the direction here is about how to prepare for a debate. And as we go deeper into this letter, we'll see that it's very much directed that way. So far, it's been kind of general, but now we're digging deeper into the preparation for debate with other schools. So you'll start to hear some things that sound familiar, but he won't go through a lot of, Nichiren won't go through a lot of justification for everything he says, because the person he's talking to should already know this. And you'll see that as I go on, that he actually makes mention in ways that alert us to that. But there's still a lot to be learned here. Because sometimes the best way to understand something is to have to argue for it or against it, right? So, without further blah, 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 here we go. In your letter, he begins or continues, you also mentioned the claims of the True Word School. First, ask upon which scriptural passages the great teacher Kobo based his denunciation of the Lotus Sutra as a doctrine of childish theory and of Shakyamuni as being still in the region of darkness. So there are doctrines in these other schools, for instance, in this case, the True Word School, that date back hundreds of years to an original founder of this True Word School, who made documents of his own with these claims that the Lotus Sutra, blah, it's worthless, and blah, 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 and lists this these reasons. And this gets inculcated into that school's idea of Buddhism. But that's very dangerous and very counter to the teachings of Buddhism. So if you're going to prove to these people, especially the representative of these people, because in debate you're speaking with the current authorities of those schools, then there are ways to dismantle their system of understanding, to point to the areas which are valid and the areas which invalidate, that are incorrect or erroneous or just flat out not supported by the text of Buddhism itself. So this is the kind of advice and debate that Nichiren excels at, being a scholar, and he's teaching his proxies in these debates now how to approach and the dismantling of these erroneous views, right? So here he's pointing to one of the core teachings. Kobo was one of the founders of the True Word School, and his teachings have been around a long time now. And so as he debates with these others, if they come up with this particular argument, well, ask them this, ask them this, ask them this, and they will flounder, and you will win that particular debate question, right? So he goes on. If they reply by citing some sutra, ask them which of the Buddhas of the three existences is represented by the thus come one Mahavarachana. Then ask them if they are aware of the deceit perpetrated by such monks as the Tripitaka masters Shan Wu Wei and Chi Kung Chi. Tell them how Shan Wu Wei deceived the monk Ish Sing when he dictated to him his commentary on the Mahavarachana Sutra. Although not the slightest indication of the 3,000 realms in a single moment of life is to be found in the Mahavarachana Sutra, this false interpretation, stating that it was put forth when the sutra was introduced to China. This, if you'll remember, has been discussed in different ways in previous letters, where Nichiren pointed out that although this was an original elucidation by Tendai, Chi Yi, of Mount Tendai and the Tendai sect, the 3,000 realms in a single moment is a core teaching of Tendai Buddhism and leads to the enlightenment in this life, in this very moment. So for Nichiren, this is a very core teaching of Buddhism and an insight of Buddhism. The other teachers in China, north and south, slowly appropriated that teaching and claimed that it had been there all along, that when their version of Buddhist teachings arrived in their purview, this teaching was, even though they didn't teach it correctly or fully, they just kind of stole it from Tendai and not stole, but claimed it as for themselves. So historically, over time, people begin to believe that the True Word School had this teaching in it all along, when in fact it was appropriated from Tendai. So the poking holes in these schools in this way is very significant in debate, when you're trying to demonstrate that the history of and the development of the teachings of Buddhism follow a very strict line of scholarship, and that one cannot just arbitrarily claim. It would be like if you wanted to be a renowned painter, and You show up one day at an art gallery with or maybe you start your own gallery and you purport yourself to be the originator of what Picasso was known for. And you now claim that Picasso was simply a student, and that that you, in fact, are the original. It would be very damning for someone to come along and say, you're full of baloney. Here's the facts. Here are documents from people who were alive 100 years before you ever were born and who witnessed the creation of this style of painting and this style of thinking and these colors and blah, blah, blah. You would look rather foolish, would you not? So it's the same way with defeating these other schools. They're very assured in themselves because this isn't something they just created last week. It's something that's been inculcated over centuries in many cases. So they are being awakened by this debate as well as those who would follow them. Do you follow? So let's go on. As regards the most perverted of their distortions, ask them if there is documentary proof in the teachings of any of the Buddhas of the three existences that permits them to tread on the head of Vairochana Buddha. If they retort in some way or other, then tell them about the great arrogant Brahmin who used statues of the three deities of Brahmanism and of Shakyamuni Buddha as the legs of his preaching platform. On other points, ask them in the same way just which sutra or treatise they can provide as proof of their assertions, and for the rest, debate with them as I have already taught, always taught you. So there you see the reference to previous knowledge that he's assuming here. No matter which school you may debate, if the teachings of the true word school are mentioned, clearly refute that school's distorted views. So he wants to put this true word school to bed. Next paragraph. Next, as to the assertions of the Nembutsu school, the Dharma teacher Tuan Luan defines the Nembutsu as the easy to practice way and the practices of the other schools as the difficult to practice way. Tao Chos defines the Nembutsu teachings as the Pure Land teachings and all the other teachings as the Sacred Way teachings. Shantao distinguishes between correct and sundry practices, while Honen enjoins people to, quote, discard, close, ignore, and abandon, end quote, all sutras other than those relating to Amida's Pure Land. Have those who cite these statements identify the exact sutra or treatise from which they are derived. Of sutras, there are, of course, two types, true and provisional. Treatises can also be divided into two types, those that discuss Hinayana, Mahayana, or Buddhism in general, and those dealing with specific sutras or chapters. Moreover, there are those treatises that hold a resolute mind and conviction to the sutras, and those that distort the sutras. One should clearly master these distinctions. Ask them if, from among the three Pure Land sutras, they can point out any passage verifying the above-mentioned assertions. Everyone chants the Nembutsu and praises Amida Buddha, but ask your opponents, as before, if there exists any teaching that affords a solid basis for this. In short, let them cite the sutra or treatises on which the adherents of Nembutsu school, both in China and Japan, base their denunciation of the Lotus Sutra as a sundry practice, urging people to discard, close, ignore, and abandon it. When they fail to cite any passage that clearly validates these statements, tell them that just as expounded in the Simile and Parable chapter of the Lotus Sutra, the grave offense they commit by slandering the true teaching on the basis of provisional teachings will surely plunge them into the great citadel of the Avicii hell, where they will be reborn again and again for countless numbers of kalpas. Let the audience, so this is interesting, we get a glimpse into what these debates might look like. Let the audience judge for themselves the seriousness of the offense that derives from following the partial and mistaken doctrines of their school and forsaking the very teaching that all Buddhas of the three existences verified with the words, quote, all that you, Shakyamuni Buddha, have expounded is the truth, end quote. Could any thinking person fail to discern which is true and which is false? Then strictly denounce the teachers of their school. So this is the form of debate that you must adopt in order to not only counter the erroneous views of these schools, but to convince the audience to make a more sound choice in the way they study and pursue their Buddhist practice. That's very political, isn't it? I apologize that I keep drinking and making noise with that can. My mouth is exceptionally dry today. I'm not sure why. I think it's medication, but that's a whole other subject. All right, we'll go on now with Nichiren instructing, Sammubo. How naive are those who cling only to the stump of one sutra without knowing which are superior and which inferior among all the sutras? Even if one cannot read all the sutras and discern this for oneself, there can be no mistaking that the Lotus Sutra is the only sutra whose truth was attested to by Shakyamuni Buddha, many treasures, and the Buddhas who are Shakyamuni's emanations. Should one nonetheless, and see, and to me that's always been like a glaring point of Nichiren's in all of these debates. How could, if somebody studied Buddhism and reads in the sutra itself, and the Lotus Sutra specifically, that all of these Buddhas stick out their broad tongues, remember, speaking the truth, bow to Shakyamuni Buddha as the Buddha who's telling the truth, who has no falsehoods, remembering that all of those other Buddhas are emanations of Shakyamuni. In other words, they're creations of Shakyamuni, they're teaching tools of Shakyamuni Buddha. Shakyamuni Buddha is an actual human who's teaching Buddhism, his founding philosophy, and he creates in his mind for mental experimentation, thought experimentation, and teaching devices, all of these other Buddhas, which are really Shakyamuni, aren't they? They're of Shakyamuni's own mind. They're emanations of Shakyamuni. They're not other Buddhas. They are representation of Shakyamuni Buddha from a different perspective. They're teaching tools. So how in your right mind can you go to a divergent school that claims as their foundational reasoning of attaining Buddhahood one of these emanations contradict the creator of that very emanation to claim superiority? How does that make sense to anyone? Only through ignorance. Only through the fact that the people who are learning from those erroneous doctrines are unaware that those Buddhas are not individual of their own right, actual Buddhas. They're thought experiments. They're following thought experiments of the original Shakyamuni, the Buddha. If they knew that, they would never follow if they're reasonable thinking beings, right? So this is what Nichiren is. This is the attitude Nichiren adopts. Come on. That's why he says, you know, what did he say? How could any thinking person fail to discern which is true and which is false? He's baffled by this. Okay, so let's go on. Should one nonetheless view the Lotus Sutra as false and misread the Buddha's words, quote, I have not yet revealed the truth, and I have already revealed the truth? Once, or as I, yeah, sorry. Should they misread the words, I have not yet revealed the truth, as I have already revealed the truth? One's distorted vision would be inferior even to that of cattle or sheep. It's like, come on. Exactly what is meant by the passage in the Teacher of the Law chapter, quote, among the sutras I have preached, now preach, and will preach, this Lotus Sutra is the most difficult to believe and the most difficult to understand, end quote. Does the Immeasurable Meanings Sutra not make it clear that Shakyamuni taught the practice of Buddhist austerities spanning myriads of kalpas before declaring, quote, in these more than 40 years I have not yet revealed the truth, end quote? These passages are nothing less than the Buddha's own statements of the relative superiority of the various sutras he expounded during his some 50 years of teachings. The relative superiority of the sutras corresponds to whether or not they lead to Buddhahood. Jikaku and Chisho held the view that although the Lotus Sutra and the Mahavacharana Sutra are equal in terms of principle, the latter is superior in terms of practice. Shandao and Honen maintained that no practice other than the Nembutsu suits the capacity of the people in the latter day. The Zen school claims to represent a special transmission apart from the sutras. Their views are as distorted as the eyesight of a person who mistakes east for west, or who cannot tell north from south. Their understanding is inferior to that of cattle or sheep, and their teachings are as ambiguous as a bat that appears to be neither animal nor bird. How could they not feel terror at defying the Buddha's words, quote, rely on the law and not upon the persons, end quote. And if a person fails to have resolute mind and conviction, but instead slanders this sutra, immediately he will destroy all the seeds for becoming a Buddha in this world, end quote. They must have been possessed by evil demons or become drunk on the bad liquor of inner darkness. Nothing is more certain than actual proof. Look at the sudden death of Shan Wu Wei and the unexpected disaster that beset Yi Qing, or how Kobo and Jikaku died. Could they have met such horrible fates if they were actually votaries of the correct teaching? How do you read the meditation on the Buddha's ocean-like characteristics sutra and other sutras, or Bodhisattva Nagarjuna's treatises that describe the state of death? The meditation master, Yi Xing, incorporated Shan Wu Wei's deceptions into his explanation of the Mahavacharana Sutra. Kobo denounced the Lotus Sutra as a doctrine of childish theory. Jikaku contended that the Mahavacharana Sutra was equal to the Lotus Sutra in terms of principle, but superior in terms of practice. Tan Luan and Dao Qiao proclaimed that the Nembutsu alone suits the people's capacity in the latter day. Such views are commonplace in the false teachings of schools founded on provisional sutras. No one would wish to die as these people did. Say these things mildly, but firmly, in a quiet voice, with a calm gaze and an even expression. In your letter, man, my mouth is dry. Sorry. In your letter, you asked how to treat questions regarding the degree of benefit afforded by the various sutras other than the Lotus Sutra. First of all, state that the benefit of any of those sutras is incomplete, because it doesn't lead you to Buddhahood. Then ask your opponents if any of the sutras upon which their schools are based were confirmed as true and valid by Shakyamuni Buddha, Many Treasures Buddha, and the Buddhas of the Ten Directions, all emanations of Buddha, right? Say that you have never heard of such, and that Many Treasures and the Buddhas who were Shakyamuni's emanations assembled to testify to the truth of the Lotus Sutra. How could they possibly attest to any other sutra? A Buddha never states two contrary things. Next, ask if there is any other sutra that mentions the 6 difficult and 9 easy acts. Though there may be some among the sutras fabricated by people after the Buddha's passings that do so, there is not a single word or phrase in any of Shakyamuni Buddha's entire 50 years of teachings that describes them. You should make all of this clear. Do the other sutras reveal that the Buddhas originally attained enlightenment numberless major world systems dust particle kalpas ago? Do they tell how the people formed a bond with the Lotus Sutra when it was expounded major world system dust particle kalpas ago? What other sutra teaches that one can gain immeasurable benefit by arousing even a single moment of resolute mind and conviction in and understanding of it, or that incalculable benefits will accrue even to the 50th person who rejoices upon hearing of it? The other sutras do not claim that even the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 10th listener can obtain such great benefit, let alone the 50th. This is all direct quotation from the Lotus Sutra, by the way. Moreover, they do not speak of even 1 or 2 dust particle kalpas, let alone such vast reaches of time as numberless major world system dust particle kalpas or major world system dust particle kalpas. Only through the Lotus Sutra was Buddhahood open to the people of the two vehicles, and the lowly dragon king's daughter enabled to attain enlightenment in her present form. That's a drop the mic moment right there. All the other Mahayana sutras, such as the Flower Garland and the Wisdom Sutras, fail to expound these wonders. Tendai made this quite clear when he declared that the attainment of Buddhahood by persons of the two vehicles was put forth for the first time in the Lotus Sutra. We may be certain that unlike Kobo or Jikaku, a learned man as enlightened as the great teacher Tendai could not have fabricated any theories that were not based on the words or meaning of the sutras. The Lotus Sutra predicts that the evil Devadatta will attain enlightenment in a land called Heavenly Way, but what other sutra makes such an assertion? Even leaving all such questions aside, what other sutra reveals the mutual possession of the 10 worlds? Or teaches that even plants and trees can attain Buddhahood? Tendai explains that all things have color or fragrance, are manifestations of the middle way. And Miao Lo adds that people are shocked and harbor doubts when they hear for the first time the doctrine that insentient beings possess the Buddha nature. Right? This is an incredibly profound teaching, and no other sutra goes that far. Can their interpretations be classed with the distorted views of Jikaku and Chisho, who claim that the Mahavacharana Sutra is equal to the Lotus Sutra in terms of principle, but superior in terms of practice? Tendai is one of the teachers who kept the torch of Buddhism burning as it passed through India and China to Japan. In other words, honored the exact meaning and words of the sermons and sutra and scholarship of Buddhism intact, without deviation or derivation. He is the sage who gained an awakening at Puxian Monastery. He is also the reincarnation of a bodhisattva and attained enlightenment by means of his inherent wisdom. How could he possibly have formulated any interpretations not based on the sutras or treatises? So here what is meant, I think, by the reincarnation of a bodhisattva. It isn't, again, it shouldn't say reincarnation, but we understand today that reincarnation is a Hindu belief system of an eternal soul that returns in different forms. There's no such thing in Buddhism. Please understand that. This word is being used in a translation, I think, to mean that Tendai, he's just a human being, but he's a very intellectual monk, teacher, studying scholarship of Buddhism. And in his study, his very profound study and his very meticulous study, he becomes a teacher to other monks and lay people of such a profound quality that he earns the title of Bodhisattva. His life is a life dedicated to the Buddha way and bringing people to that Buddha way. So therefore he is a Bodhisattva, as is Nichiren. But there's got to be some other word I can find in the English language that more adequately represents that sentiment than this abuse of this word reincarnation. That's just nonsense. Since Nagarjuna, we definitely know that he took that apart totally. This whole idea of a baggage of self, this ongoing eternal entity. It's malarkey. Buddhism doesn't respect that whatsoever. So to use that word, that's an English fabrication of a concept that doesn't belong in Buddhism at all. So I will find a word to replace that, I guarantee you. It may take more than one word, but I will do it. Okay. How could he possibly have formulated any interpretations that were not based on the sutras or treatises? Because he's the utmost representation of the teachings in this mundane world, in samsara, right? This is how we become awakened to our Buddha nature. Our Gohonzon is our Buddha nature within our samsaric entity. This is how we experience Buddha. Buddha isn't something we go to after this life. It's not something other than this life. It is in and within and surrounding, it is this life. It is the process of this life, is Buddhahood. And to live as a human being, a sentient being in samsara and experience this life process of Buddhahood within our own mundane existence is a bodhisattva experience. It can't help but influence our environs, which includes sentient and insentient beings. That's what is meant here. Is any single greater matter to be found in the other sutras? The Lotus Sutra contains 20 outstanding principles. Among those 20, the most vital is the lifespan chapter. The revelation that the Buddha first attained enlightenment numberless major world system dust particle kalpas ago. That's the instantiation of Buddha, not Shakyamuni. The same Buddha that we all experience. The life process itself. It's immeasurable in time. People may well wonder what this revelation means. Explain that it teaches that common people like ourselves who have been submerged in the sufferings of birth and death since time without beginning, and who never so much as dream of reaching the shore of enlightenment, become the thus come ones who are originally enlightened and endowed with the three bodies. That is, it reveals the ultimate principle of the 3,000 realms in a single moment. From this perspective, you should firmly establish that the Lotus Sutra is the most profound among all the Buddha's teachings. You may bring forth this point in an official debate, but not during personal discussions. Should you indiscriminately mention it to whomever you meet on any occasion or at any time, you will certainly incur punishment from the Buddhas of the three existences. This is the doctrine that I have always referred to as my own inner realization. Oof. So he's revealing to his proxy, the embodiment of his teachings in another person, the nature of his own awakening, his own specific insight through the jewel of the teaching within the essential teaching of the Lotus Sutra. And he's come to that after some, from 12, so almost 20 years of scholarship, of doing nothing but day and night studying all of this, the writings, the sutras, the commentaries, the individual writings of each temple he traveled to, as well as the documentation of their debates with other schools, and in his own debates with other schools as his scholarship grew. And so it wasn't until he was 30 years old that this enlightenment, this awakening that he just shared, this major insight that he just shared, inspired him to chant for the first time Myoho Renge Kyo. Myoho Renge Kyo not being some magical formula he came up with, but the very title of this teaching. This is the quintessential teaching of attaining Buddhahood in one's own form immediately. He goes on. Can even the slightest indication of this doctrine be found in the Mahabharachana Sutra? The three Pure Land Sutras state that about 10 kalpas have passed since Amida Buddha attained enlightenment. Can this possibly compare with the Lotus Sutra's revelation above? Meet each argument with rebuttals such as these, citing each quotation in its proper context. Then tell your opponents to stop and consider this. It is precisely because the Lotus Sutra is so remarkably sublime that many treasures came from far away to testify to its truth, and that the emanation Buddhas assembled to join him. Then Shakyamuni, many treasures, and all the other Buddhas attested that this sutra is free from falsehood, extending their broad tongues all the way to the Brahma heaven. Bodhisattvas, as numerous as the dust particles of 1,000 worlds, appeared from beneath the earth and were specifically entrusted with the transmission of Myoho Renge Kyo to all living beings throughout the land of Jambudvipa in this impure and evil latter age. Was it not precisely because these bodhisattvas were the Buddha's envoys that he denied all of the 800,000 million nayutas of great bodhisattvas, saying, quote, "Leave off, good men"? If, as is the way with the adherents of misleading schools, they demand that you cite documentary evidence for these statements, quote the Emerging from the Earth chapter of the Lotus Sutra, and the ninth volume of the 10 words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra, and the ninth volume of the annotations on the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra, which clarify the three reasons for the rejection of the bodhisattvas from other worlds. and the three reasons for the emergence of the Bodhisattvas of the earth. Herein lies the matter of utmost importance for Nichiren and his followers. Adherents of the various schools may attempt to attack you by citing the passage from the Treatise on the Great Perfection of Wisdom that states, quote, if one denounces the teachings of others, follow out of love for one's own, then even if one is the practitioner who observes the precepts, one will never escape the pains of hell. Ask them whether they know why Nagarjuna wrote this admonition, and if Nagarjuna could possibly have been ignorant of how serious an offense it is to slander the true teachings by clinging to provisional teachings. He stated, quote, the various sutras are not secret teachings, only the Lotus Sutra is secret. He declared that the Lotus Sutra alone is the seed of enlightenment, likening it to the great physician who can change poison to medicine. Is it possible that he later regretted having saying these things and therefore wrote that if someone denounces the teachings of others, follow out of love for one's own, one will be destined to fall into the evil paths? If so, he would have been directly contradicting the truthful words of the Lotus Sutra, in which the Buddha states, quote, honestly discarding expedient means and not accepting a single verse of the other sutras, end quote. This is hardly conceivable. Nagarjuna was a bodhisattva who appeared in accordance with Shakyamuni Buddha's prediction, as well as a scholar in the direct lineage of the Buddha's teaching. He may well have written this admonition in his treatise because he foresaw that such priests as Kobo and Tuan Lan would slander the Lotus Sutra, the teaching that befits this age of the latter day of the law. You should scoff at your opponents for not knowing the meaning of the words they cite. Tell them, quote, are you yourselves not followers of those destined to fall into the evil paths? How pitiful! Are you not to be counted among those who will suffer for the countless kalpas to come? End quote. In his appeal, getting long-winded here. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll do a part four, and we'll continue. I'm not sure. Yeah. There's a good amount of instruction here, but I think I've just given you quite a lot to chew on. It's interesting, isn't it? These letters, the different forms these letters take, they're really a tremendous opportunity for you and I to view Myoho Renge Kyo, to view our Buddhist practice from several different angles. I keep saying I apologize. It's a basic broadcaster mistake. Throughout all of these teachings, by looking from different vantage points, and this is obviously preparation for debate, so that cites many meaningful aspects of the sutra to defend its lineage and its interpretation. The meaning is everything, right? So we then, as students, are put in a position of, I get this, I get that, I'm learning that, I'm not sure about this. And then suddenly we're in the shoes of somebody who's not only going to have to defend why we do this, which kind of changes the nature of your conviction about it, doesn't it? Because if you can defend it and you can identify actual teachings that defend it, then your confidence in what you're doing becomes far more steadfast. And also, conversely, your doubts, your maybe sometimes interest in other tangential stuff starts to, instead of floating in your mind as, yeah, I'm studying and all of these things are equal, you start to see a greater disparity between what something else is saying as a mere reflection of something much more core, much more indicative of the actual practice, the truth, if you will. And remember, Nichiren dropped in the middle of this the word proof, because as I've stated earlier, proof is an actual experience of the awakening. And you simply aren't going to get to that proof if you're following this misguided, wandering, or outright false claims, because that teaching is ultimately not going to invoke, awaken that experience of Buddha nature. It might get you excited. It might lead to some insights, which is why study in general is useful. But if that, the problem here is that these erroneous other schools not only claim to be the end-all be-all, which they are not, but they often do so, if not always do so, by minimizing the actual teaching and the ultimate teaching of the Lotus Sutra. Why do they do that? They want to dishonor, or in modern terms, demonize the actual in favor of their own usurping of that goal in inferior doctrine. Like, if they claim it, it'll be so. But that's not supported. Not only is it not supported, but it's clearly rebutted within the actual lineage of teachings to the ultimate teaching of the Lotus Sutra, the immeasurable, even just the opening sutra, the immeasurable meaning sutra, not even the Lotus Sutra itself, but the ovation to the Lotus Sutra clearly states everything I've taught before has been preparatory. It's been to expand your mental capacity, your ability to integrate this now, this actual truth, this teaching, this core teaching. This is what all of this has led to. And for whatever reasons, these other schools have taken that and said, no, that's just for intellectuals, or that's just for this, or that's for that. This earlier teaching and this book I wrote about it, this is the truth. How can you do that? How can you take the engine out of a car, push the car over to a hill, and then push it down the hill, and as it's careening down the hill with you behind the driver's seat, claim that this is the only car. This is how a car works. Simply because you don't want to acknowledge that the engine is what does the work. That's in effect what these other teachers are doing, these other schools are doing. Pay no attention to that engine. It's just a problem. It's the car. It's all about the car. How do you sit in it? How do you hold the steering wheel? Oh, it doesn't move? Don't worry about that. If you just chant the name of Chevrolet enough times, it'll move. See how ridiculous that sounds? Well, that's the kind of debate that Nichiren is trying to have with these other schools, not intentionally to ridicule them so much, but to kind of jar them loose. Hey, wake up. Look what you're doing. And look at all the people you're dragging along with you. That's why he says words like pitiful. Right? I hope that becomes clear to you as you reread this. I know this Gosho in particular maybe a little hard to follow because it assumes such a knowledge base. But let it be a key to sending you to other references so you can bolster your own insights and understanding. That's the nature of our study. Once again, I so appreciate your support. All of you who watch, all of you who can donate in some way, please know it's more than me appreciating what you're doing. It's everyone who watches these videos who appreciates what you're doing. So on behalf of everyone and myself, of course, thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll see you in part four and however many parts afterward. Okay. Thanks again. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo.